So, true to form, with our collaboration, this is going to be a tag team. I'm going to present part, Serge is going to present part, I'll present part. And we're here also, some of our absent partners are Bert Edelstein and June Levine, who are in the College of Dentistry and Oral Health. We have no disclosures that we're worrying about. So a lot of people in this room probably are not familiar with the term early childhood caries. You may be more familiar with the word cavity, but what you may not be familiar with is that it happens from the time that children's teeth come in. It's not just something for permanent teeth, but also in baby teeth. And it's very diet dependent. It really is connected to a high level of sugar consumption. And fluorides in the water, a lot of city water programs treat their water and it reduces the risk of caries. What a lot of people don't understand is how this is a very, very prevalent disease. And you can see in just the slides at the bottom, it's 1 in 5 by age 3, and by the time children are age 5, almost half. People call it different names. It's called baby bottle tooth decay, nursing bottle tooth decay, night bottle cavities, bottle rot, and it's all sort of thinking, well, it goes along with that nursing and the baby process, so maybe we don't have to worry about it. But we do have to worry. Because it is a rampant caries process. It's not just isolated cavities that happen in the teeth. It really can destroy those primary teeth. And the other thing that happens is once it's in the mouth, it continues. So it's infectious and it's transmissible. So a parent who has problems with caries can, through saliva, say, cleaning off a pacifier and then putting it in the baby's mouth after having been in the mother's mouth, it actually can transmit the bacteria that cause the caries right to that child. And then, of course, it impacts on that child's health and welfare, on their chewing, on speech development, a whole variety of things. So it's not a good thing. So it looks, this is a pretty advanced stage, but you may not be aware of it. So we just wanted to show you a picture. Oops. And there are also problems with a lot of heavy plaque. This is all automated a funny way. And then there's a white spot lesion that right there. Brown spot lesion. Let's see if we can get the circle there. And then it can become a cavity. So it's a process that evolves over time until you have that broken tooth or an abscess tooth. So this was a picture of one of the children that came into the pediatric dental clinic, and that's what it looked like. This child was 28 months old, under age 3, and already look at the teeth. So can you imagine drinking juice if your mouth had that many cavities in it? Pain. So it is the most common chronic childhood illness in the U.S. 28% of children between age 2 and 5 have visible cavities. It's 5 times more common than asthma and 20 times more common than diabetes, which are things that in the public health community we all worry about. So we think this is something that should be worried about, and this whole project is in fact a response to that. Oh, and by the way, like many other things, there are big health disparities with low income and minority children being more likely to have caries. So we just wanted to remind you, it's a process, it happens over time, and even though children may be taken to the dentist and fillings can be installed to fill a hole, it doesn't stop the process because the bacteria are still there and capable of continuing, and if left uninterrupted, will continue to spread into the adult teeth when they come in also. So the ECC project was launched to focus on disease prevention and reduce the need for surgical treatment. We wanted to develop pilot tests and refine an electronic tool to be used to help assess risk assessment. Now you may wonder, why are we in the CHW section? Because the innovative idea here was that CHWs are going to be involved in implementing that risk assessment tool with families in the community where these would be high risk. So we have a collaborative team. It cuts across lots of disciplines: public health, dentistry, nursing and medicine, nutrition, social work, educational technology, and nursing. But where are the CHWs? And now I'm going to turn it over to Sergio, because he's going to tell you where the CHWs have come into this project and had a significant impact on the project.
Thank you, Sally. I want to thank Christina for allowing for a change in schedule to accommodate our emergencies. Thank you. Thank you both. Okay, so there's this fancy team that got, and there clearly no CHWs there, right? So we got called in during the second meeting, actually. So all the providers had already met: the nursing department, the dentist, the surgeons, the school health, the nutritionists. They had already met, and then we were invited in to the second meeting. And why CHWs? Well, the problems that were being identified as specific to this project were issues that CHWs are accustomed to dealing with. Marginalized populations that are at increased risk for specific issues, people who have limited access to dental care, people who are not particularly concerned about any particular issue and had received misinformation about the importance of caring for baby teeth. Many people reported to us that, you know, and there are many cultural and myths that baby teeth don't really matter. They're gonna fall out anyway, and you know, don't worry about them. But you can see clearly from these pictures that these children are in pain, and that in fact that is impacting their quality of life and their ability to live and learn and develop. And so they really are very significant. And lastly, the dominant behavior pattern was that people don't go to the dentist until they're in pain. I am now 60 years old, and I still do that. So it's not surprising that others do too. And CHWs seem to be the solution to these issues. CHWs are trusted members of the communities they serve and are able to reach parents on a more intimate and personal level without a provider being the intermediary. And CHWs, of course, are culturally competent communicators that are able to really deliver messages in ways that are received well by people. And lastly, CHWs are quite experienced at helping people embrace priorities and behavior changes. So I came to the table, and you know, these folks had already met, and they said, "Here, Sergio, this is what we're gonna do. We have this. We've developed this instrument. It's amazing. It's fantastic." We ask all these questions and we get a risk factor. And this risk factor tells us what we have to do. And we know that people don't come to the dentist, so we want CHWs to go out into the community and get this form filled out. I said, okay. So I said, well, maybe you folks, let me explain a little bit. This is not really, CHWs don't go in and mine, you know, do mining operations where they like would pull out all this information from people. That's really not, you know, we develop relationships with people. We don't work quite in this way, but we have to do this. And what we really want to do is we want to put this on a gadget. You know, we want to put this like on an iPhone or something, and you know, the CHW will go into a family and they'll put all this stuff in on their iPhone, and then the iPhone will spit out a treatment strategy. I said, okay, but I don't know how that's going to work, because I don't know if CHWs can really have a gadget get between them and the person they're talking to. So we said, let's figure it out. Why don't we talk to some CHWs and see how this might work? And so that's what we did. And so we held a couple of focus groups with CHWs. We held a couple of focus groups with families that were already working with our CHWs. And this is some of the things that they told us. First of all, they told us that most of the families that they work with are really unaware that oral health in infants and babies is an issue. None of the CHWs we talked to had said any family had ever asked them anything about baby teeth, oral, and never. This had never been mentioned, so it was not an issue community was aware of. They were also, when we presented to these CHWs some of the information that you, so they were not aware that this was such an important thing, and that it was so prevalent, and that the consequences were so severe. They recognized that the only time oral health was even considered was when it was a problem, most of the community health workers were, and the families were really relatively unaware that there were any resources in the community to deal with this. There's few dentists in the community. There were no child-friendly dentists in the community, which is, children start crying in the hallway before they even enter the dentist office. There is a way to deal with that stuff, but there weren't many facilities that were doing that. And lastly, of course, a lot of dental care was not covered by insurance, so people didn't really seek out those services. There were also community views on accessing dental services that were pretty dominant. One was that there's a lot of stigma associated with dental visits. People expected to be criticized and judged and blamed when they went to the dentist. And so people hesitated to embrace that particular experience, because nobody wants to be judged and blamed and criticized and dictated to. So people stayed out of the dentist office until it was absolutely necessary. And again, even families reported that even some dentists had told them, don't worry about those teeth are gonna fall out. So dentists were really misinforming, actually providers were misinforming people about the importance of oral health. So CHWs actually expressed an interest in this, because there was concern, they were concerned that their communities weren't aware of this, and they actually wanted to do this. They didn't particularly want to use that form, but they did want to. They wanted to learn a little more, and they said that given a little more training, they would be wanting to embrace this and include it in the menu of services that they provide. So here's what they told us. They said we do need a tool to facilitate this education, but it's not that tool. They said we need a tool that's graphic, that's bilingual, and that's low literacy. And if possible, we'd like for it to be fun. We'd like for it to be, instead of something that gets between me and my client, we'd like for it to be something that me and my client can work on together. Okay. And we would like to avoid that complicated assessment process if it's at all possible. So I will hand it back over to Sally, but I will tell you that the input from community health workers and the families that were served was critically important to changing the path of this project, but perhaps even more important than that was the realization on the part of the principal investigator, Dr. Burton Edelstein, who, even though the train had already left the station, when we came to the table and really advised him, this is not going to work at all. This form is just not going to work. He really respected that opinion and really stopped the entire project team to give time to have the focus groups and in-depth interviews with the other participants, and really altered the. And Sally will talk about the product that emerged out of this effort.
Thank you, Sergio. So one of the big things we tried to do was shift it from risk assessment to prevention and support. So we got a name for this thing, and after a lot of going back and forth and talking with a lot of people, CHWs, lots of people, we came up with My Smile Buddy. And the team at Columbia developed a nice little logo to go with it. And so instead of a risk assessment tool, we sort of moved the whole process to an integrated, let's see what the problem is, and along the way, every time there's something that is uncovered, you do something about it. I'm an action researcher, and I kept saying, you can't complete the risk assessment and then do something about it. If you've got the tools right there, do the action when the moment arises. So we wanted to integrate videos about the CARES process so CHWs could access them and make it like a story that they could really talk to their children about and have something that could be taken home. We wanted it for sure, it had to be, the whole process had to be able to flip back and forth between English and Spanish. And instead of having that tool a separate thing, the whole thing would be a goal and action planning tool. So they first proposed, something like small, working on iPods. Well, this is about the time the iPad came out. And they got this brilliant idea that iPad could work. Now, you got to understand that there are techies on this team, and they like love to make all these new tech tools work. Well, it turned out that that was the sort of thing that would also make it possible for the CHWs to actually go in the home equipped with video tools. So somewhere along the line, we shifted into lots of paper with pieces of paper to be given to people to this iPad interactive tool. It would be portable, usable anywhere. It would focus the learner's attention on specific things on the screen. Everybody's seen how, kids using their Nintendos, woo, it's like, right there. It allows the multimedia presentation, and it's ideal for learners with low prior knowledge and low dental health literacy. And we're working in a community where a lot of people don't have GEDs, a lot of people don't have Spanish literacy, let alone English literacy. So I just wanted to give you an idea for what some of this would look like. There are tabs at the top, and the CHW can navigate between them. There's no rule that you have to start with assessment or risk or planning, and you can jump around depending on what happens in the conversation, which is, of course, people want to be flexible. They want to go where the issues are coming up. So here is, and we wanted to incorporate. So we did more focus groups with parents to find out what images are going to work for you when we want to talk about drinking choices. So we did a focus group, and they said, well, this is what we made sure that all the things that are in there, we had gone over with parents in the community to know that these were really things that they gave their children. And if the CHW didn't know a question that came up, we have a drawdown menu, a pop-up menu where they can go and say, okay, you asked about such and such. Here's where it is. So they could talk about it with the families and not feel like they were out there on their own, unsupported by backup information. The other thing that Bert Edelstein came up with is this whole concept of a house on fire, that that we wanted something that would be communicative to the children as well as to the parents about this process, that early CARES process can be, in fact, spread like flames in your mouth, and that you needed something to put it out. So he found that this really helped, and the team all said, wow, we can buy into that. We can talk about that. That's a very good educational tool. So the whole thing, the parent-child story, is all about the flames needing to be put out. So this is just an idea that shows you how, if, say, something comes up and they want to work on goal setting, then there's different options. Toothbrushing, sugary drinks, sugary foods. You could go to sugary drinks, then about those. We wanted to make it action, do, learn, and then there are different options depending on what you wanted to do. So the next issue, because of course this is a CBR project also, is how will we know? So the next phase of this is actually to be training the CHWs and actually using it and validating it and doing a feasibility study. So we think that this tool is very important because it's a positive tool. Smile Buddies can work with a variety of programs. We could use it at WIC sites, at Head Start, different. It's very mobile, and you don't have to be in a dentist's office to sort of jump in and be able to use it. And that's a style of CHW work that's very much used in our community. CHWs don't work in one place. They work in a variety of community settings wherever the children are. So we're still completing work on that iPad tool, and we're going to be testing it with a very small group. So these are our contacts in case you wish to reach us, and we thank you very much. And as Sergio indicated, we also thank you for letting us go first.